that for us. We have been...
This is kind of high today, isn't it?
I feel like I'm hiding but from you. There we go. We're interrupting our study of Acts, and as we discovered, though, as we go through the book of Acts, prayer is crucial. It's vital to the extension of the kingdom of God. And where we left off was when they were in Antioch praying together, and Holy Spirit told them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul at that time, later became Paul, set apart these two and send them all out. And they went out to Cyprus, and they met that proconsul, the Roman proconsul, Sergius Paulus, and he became a believer. That's just one example throughout the book of Acts where the people of God are praying and the kingdom of God is extending. And is during that, the Lord was just moving in my heart is how are we doing as a people? How are you and I doing in our prayer life? How do we pray? And that's what we looked at last week. We asked the question, Lord, teach us how to pray. Actually, the question asked by the Lord's disciples. And just a little bit of a review. This is where we were last week, in case you weren't able to join us. We looked at Jesus' prayer life, that he would often withdraw to lonely places. And those lonely places were on mountains. Sometimes he'd pray all night. Sometimes he'd get up early in the morning, go pray. Sometimes in the middle of the night, he'd go on a mountain and pray. But often, Luke tells us, in lonely places, deserted places. And he would pray sometimes, not only alone, but with his disciples. The Mount of Transfiguration, he went up to pray with John and James and Peter. And that's when they had that fantastic revelation of Christ in his glory with Moses and Elijah. He prays, you see Christ in the scriptures, praying for children, small children, like some of the little ones you're holding and taking back and forth from the nursery. He prays for those. He enjoys to pray for those type of people, as well as for older people like his disciples and you. In John 17, if you want to see the Lord in action in prayer, that whole chapter is him praying for his disciples and including us, those of us who will believe in their witness. You can see that in John 17. If you've not ever read that carefully, reread John 17. He is very much concerned about you and I growing and being sanctified and becoming more like Christ. And so Christ prayed for you, and he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for children. He did a lot of praying and interacting with Father God alone. Prayer was important to Jesus. He told us that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Last week I went around and we tried to call out different nations, and would you believe I left out Australia? That's you remember that. Who had their nation left out last week? Australia, the Philippines. I didn't say anything about the Philippines. Oh, man. You know, this is two of our big contingents of our church. Any other countries left out last week? But if we went around, you know, we've got Brazil, South Africa. We've got, you go on, you know, Indonesia. Let me take a look. We got England. Last week I had some people from Wales. I think that's even in close to England, right? And then we have Sweden. Let's see, what else? Malaysians. It goes on and on and on and on. Okay. Oh, yeah, there's the Americans. Argentina. Venezuela. Excuse me, Venezuela. Don't hit me, Maria. Okay. And Korea. How about it, Koreans? All right, let's go. Any Japanese here this morning? China. Chinese. Okay, they're all right. Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, you go, all these different Chinese peoples. Could I say India subcontinent, maybe? Okay, so we've got that. This is a place of prayer for all nations, where all nations can gather and pray. And that word is very similar to the proskuneo word of where the wise men came to adore Jesus. They came to fall at his feet and worship him. And that's what it means. My place where I abide, where God is at home, is where people from all nations are bowing and worshiping him. Prayer was important to Jesus, and Jesus wants his people to be devoted to prayer. Jesus wants us, you and I, to be devoted to prayer. And so the disciples knew this. They saw Jesus in action. They knew his teaching on prayer. And so it was very natural to say, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? And we saw that Jesus, before he got into the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to take apart piece by piece and look at that a little more carefully under the microscope, Jesus taught them, don't show off when you pray. So we don't stand on the street corners. We don't just come out here and pray in such a way that brings attention to self. We don't show off in our prayers like the hypocrites who love to be seen by others while they're praying. Instead, we go into our closet and we pray alone. Now, there's a place for corporate prayer, what we do here. There's a place for that. But the real praying that goes on is when you get along with Christ, when you get along with Father God, and you talk to him, and you get rewarded privately. Now, what is that reward? We'll look a little bit at that today. Do not use a lot of words. There's no need to babble like the pagans did, Jesus said. You don't need to use a lot of words. Just get to the heart of the matter, you know. You want to praise him, praise him. If you got something you need and you really, really want to ask him for his help, you talk to him about it. You just go right to it. You don't have to use a lot of words. But Jesus taught them, this is when you pray, don't show off. Don't enjoy God who rewards you in private. And you don't need to use a lot of words. And the application was, teach your children to pray. I just love to see all these kids going to learn how to play soccer on Sunday mornings, because I like the game, which we call, the rest of the world calls football. I'm looking at an American right now. He doesn't appreciate that. But anyway, they're going to play football this morning, right? And I wish they could come here and all those little angels could really learn about what it is to be righteous in Christ. But they want their kids to learn how to play football, right? Well, I tell you what, they're going to outgrow football. Many of those little girls are going to say, no, football doesn't fit me. I got other interests, thank you. But they're going to need to know how to pray. Your children need to know how to pray. Now, Elizabeth and team, Amy and her young little junior kids' church, our teenagers behind me right now meeting, they're trying to help young people learn how to pray. But where you learn how to pray is from mom and dad. So teach your children to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, ask Jesus to teach you how to pray. Now, I've been following Christ since my prodigal days ended to now almost 40 years, and Jesus continues to teach me to pray, and I hope I can share some of those lessons that I've learned in the last few weeks with you on prayer. But if you just kind of feel like, I really don't know how to do this thing called prayer, well, just ask Jesus to teach you by his Spirit, and he will. And I hope he'll use today's sermon to help as well. Well, why do we pray? Before we look at the Lord's Prayer, I want to ask you, why do we pray? There's different reasons we can pray, but one of them isn't just to avoid suffering, pain, and hardship. I mean, that's life in a fallen world. You can do a lot and try to reduce the stressors in your life. You can do a lot about that. But there's certain things you cannot control. I certainly couldn't control my neighbors varnishing their floor this past week and the fumes coming into our house. And I thought, man, I'm going to die in about 5 minutes if I keep breathing this stuff. I mean, it was... And you go out there and the guy in the hallway is saying, I'm hoisy since I'm sorry, sir. And he's got a towel double wrapped around his head. I said, I'm sorry too, you got to work in that, you know, and breathe those fumes, those toxic things. We can't control certain things that happen to us in life, in the workplace, in our family, even in this community. Some bad things happen to you, and I know they have. Some of you have shared your stories with me and asked me to pray with you. So you can't, you just don't pray, God, today keep me from all kinds of bad things. Now they're going to happen to you. But he's there to help you go through them. And Psalm, what was that Psalm 66 you read? Said. Do we want to change God's mind? Oftentimes we think, you know, I want a better job than one you've given me right now, God. So please, 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 please give me a better job, you know. Please. Something to change God's mind. That's not what prayer is all about. Well, what is it about? Well, there's three biblical reasons to pray, or if you want to say three benefits to pray, and we're going to look at these three and then look at the Lord's Prayer. First is experience God, to really grow in our relating to Him, to experience Him in a relationship. Some of you, I have had opportunity to, you know, I like sports, and to watch a sports game with you, perhaps even play a sports game, whether it's volleyball, tennis, football. You know, I really enjoy that kind of stuff. You know, but I get to know you better as a person. We get to relate with one another. And many of us, all of us, I think, just about all of us, I don't know of anyone other than my eldest son who's limited in his diet, but all of us like to eat and go out to eat and be together and share a meal together. And that's a natural way to relate and spend time. Well, the Bible tells us that when we pray, we experience God. We're spending time with Him. We're experiencing Him. We're relating to Him. We're drawing closer to Him. And experience peace. And we'll look at that. Peace means the psychological or soulness. What's this chicken soup for your soul? Was there a lot of something like that? A lot of books about that. And there's all kinds of other things for your soul. Well, this is what we're talking about. Soul peace. When you don't have that fighting within you. And we'll look at that. The other is to experience blessing. What do I mean by that? Well, God answers. Simply put. You pray and you see it happen. Wow. Okay. Experience God. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. That's Psalm 116. I love Him because He's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And remember that great prayer that Christ was really loved when He saw, not the Pharisee saying, I'm glad I'm not like this person over here. No, He said, the one that He loves to hear is, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, I have to pray that even before I come to the pulpit. You know, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know how I've sinned against you in word, thought, and deed this week, and I've got to come before your people, and somehow your Holy Spirit's going to speak through me to speak to them, and I know all my righteousness is like filthy rags. In me there is no good thing, but in you there is forgiveness, and I love you for that. I love you, but I can ask you to forgive me. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. The Lord is near to all who call on Him in truth. I've seen some really stupid movies on TV. And I can't remember this guy. He's in a Korean church and he's praying to a Korean Jesus on the cross. He says, Korean Jesus, I don't know if you can hear me or not. But that type of prayer, what he prayed, was from his heart. It was a stupid movie and it was sacrilegious. But at the same time, what I'm trying to get at is God doesn't care about how you approach Him if you approach Him in truth. You can only approach Him through Jesus Christ, not the Korean Jesus, somebody hanging on a cross praying to an idol. No, no, no. You know, you approach Christ, you approach Father God through Christ alone, who died for you on the cross, who rose again from the dead, who's coming again to judge all living and the dead. This Christ wants you to be truthful. I don't know what I'm going to do about little Billy. He's been diagnosed with autism. I don't know how to handle it. My husband's cheated on me. I don't know what to do. My wife has cancer. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call Him in truth. That's a reason to pray, to get close to God, to experience God, and just be truthful with Him. Experience peace. Now, this is a verse I think a lot of you have memorized from Philippians 4, 5b through 7. That's just a part of verse B, 5, why I call it 5b. But the Lord is at hand. He's at hand right here. He's going to be at hand in our afternoon activities. He's going to be at hand at our home when we kick our feet up tonight. He's going to be at hand when we lie down on the bed. He's going to be at hand when you go to work tomorrow morning. He's going to be at hand when you're on the ferry going to work. And while you're at work, He's at hand when you're at school. That's right. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, I can't help but get a little anxious about you fill in the blank. Do not be anxious about anything, but, now here's how to cope with that anxiety, but in everything. I was anxious this morning about, I'm in charge of getting beverages for our worship luncheon, which will be at the Gianetta's home, and what in the world, I'd serve the guys, you know, it's... I'm not going to go out and buy wine and stuff. You know, what am I going to service? You know, I'm sorry. Sorry. The Gianettas have a good stash. But I went out and, you know, it's like, okay, just go get some sparkling water and cranberry juice. Okay, so that's what I got. I'm sorry. But to make a long story short, I started praying about, you know, I said, well, Lord, what should I do? And you know, He didn't say, yeah, sparkling water and cranberry juice. You know, but it was like, just calm down, James. Just get those things, and there'll be other things to drink. And most people drink water anyway with their milk. So just, you get the feel what I'm getting at? It can be these little things, or it can be the big things. I got to meet Mr. X tomorrow, and he is one tough cookie. He's going to expect me to have all these deadlines done, and they're not done, and what am I going to do? These are the type of things you also get anxious about. But in everything, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit because we do not bring everything to God in prayer. It's an old hymn. You want peace, you want psychological wellness, pray. God has given us that in prayer. He's built that into it. And will guard your heart, my mind, your mind in Christ Jesus. Now experience blessing. Another reason we pray, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. This is Jesus speaking to Simon Peter at the Last Supper. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And then Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. I'm here with you to death. You know, I'll suffer with you. I'll go to prison. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, before the crow cries out twice, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. But Jesus restores him, and Peter becomes a very godly leader of the early church. Because Jesus prayed for him. It worked. It works for Christ. But not only for Christ, it works for us. Remember, we use Peter again. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. So remember, James was arrested, one of the originals, the guy who was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He had his head chopped off by Herod, and then Herod saw how this pleased the Jews, and so he arrested Peter, and everybody's praying, oh no, Peter's going to get his head chopped off. And the night before his execution, the angel comes to the prison and lets him out, and then Peter comes back, Rhoda opens the door, and everybody's happy. Prayer works. That's why we pray for our brother Kim Bai in North Korea, that he'll be released. Prayer works for us personally. That's why we pray for school places, and you find you get one for your child in a very godly way. You know, in other words, nobody pulled strings for you. You just somehow, man, it opened up a door. Somebody left, and the spot opened. You've seen God work and move. He answers prayer. So we, in summary, we're experiencing God Himself. We get closer to God. That's the one of the reasons, one of the benefits of praying. We experience psychological peace. If you want to say, we get it off our chest. You get the things out of your heart that's upsetting you because you're laying them at the feet of who? The Almighty God. Is going to take me somehow from this planet to heaven. I'm not just trusting him for this little need right now. I'm trusting him for the big picture. In a life I didn't live and a death I didn't die, I stake my whole eternity on Christ. So we go closer to God, we experience his peace, and we actually see him answer prayer. Okay, now with that in mind, Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. This manner is the Lord's Prayer. It's a manner. It's not just reciting these words. And I grew up as a child just reciting those words. Every Sunday, we went to church, and I think it was before the offering or after the offering, perhaps, we always said the Lord's Prayer. Does anybody come with a tradition of that similar? There's a few of you. You know what I'm saying. And it became very routine. And of course, that was one of the first things we ever memorized as a young believer. But it's not until recently that I really began to see what is in the Lord's Prayer. I think everything's there, right? Yeah. Can you see that well enough up in the back? Can you? Let's try and read this out together, okay? And I think you're familiar with it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Most Bible scholars would agree that the last phrase, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, was added after the writings, and it's a good ending. I guess the guy had a good thought, but it's not in the oldest manuscripts. As you look at the and compare the ancient Greek manuscripts, you begin to see where certain things are added. And if you look in your Bibles, if you have an electronic Bible or a regular Bible, you'll see it footnoted. Alternate readings say this, but it's not in the majority or the oldest manuscripts. With that all said, the pattern within the Lord's Prayer includes five targets. One is God's honor, hallowed be your name. Secondly is God's kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's provision, give us this day our daily bread. God's forgiveness, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then finally, God's power. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So these are the five targets. Now, think about it when you pray. What is your target when you pray? I mean, if you want to call it your target, when you go to God in prayer, you know, sometimes I just want to go thank Him. I just want to say, I love you. I praise you, your name. That's dealing with His honor, I think. And then I jump into what really matters is I want your provision. I want something from you, right? I want your blessing of health. I want your blessing of financially, materially, whatever. And it gets into more of the daily bread things. Oftentimes, it's forgiveness, right? We come to Him in prayer and confession. But let's look at these. And today, we're only going to look at the salutation and the first one, God's honor. But our Father in heaven. So it begins with our Father. It's not... my Father. This whole thing about the five aims and targets, that kind of came from a guy that I've been impacted on how he does discipleship with men. His name is Randy Pope. What a surname, right? But Pope Randy of Atlanta, Georgia. Perimeter Churches, you may have heard of them. But this is kind of I'm sharing with you how I have been blessed by Randy. His Father, God, is my Father, God. When I was in the Philippines in Manila, Peter Tanchi, a pastor there, I was blessed by him. You know, Peter Tanchi's Father is God, is my Father, God. I've been blessed by John Stott, Stephen Alford, and these are Englishmen, and their Father God is my Father God. P.T. Chandapilla of India, he was very influential and blessed me. His Father God was my Father God. I've been blessed by you. Your Father God is my Father God. So there's no need for us as a family of God to look and to envy and be jealous, because we are a one family. Have you ever had your kids say, Dad, who do you love the most? You know, which of us three? We got three. How about... I guess Addie, you don't have that problem, do you? So it's just the one. Parents, we don't think of that. We appreciate the way God has made each one of you. And this is this collective sense. But we come to that beautiful word, Father. Father is an enduring term, and some of us have had terrible fathers, I know. But still, we have an idea of what a good father would be like. Our Father, and we're told in Romans 8, because of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And that is really Abba, Pater, which means Daddy, Father. Now, I feel comfortable when I talk in my prayer life to call Him Father God. I still can't make myself call Him Daddy. I can't do that. But I do know what it's trying to communicate in this whole beginning is that when you approach God, approach Him knowing what? He loves you. He knows you're a sinful mess. He knows I'm a sinful mess. That's why He sent Christ. And when I understand that great love, then the gospel becomes very much in part of me, and I want to live a godly life. I want to live a blameless life, but I know only through the power of the Holy Spirit and walking with Holy Spirit can I overcome temptation. And I desperately need Him. But I'm not trying to earn his love. He says, my love is here for you, James. Do you believe it? And so I express my belief when I come to him and I say, our Father. In heaven. What goes on in heaven? Open up Revelation 4 and you get a little glimpse. There's 24 elders bowing down, worshiping Christ on the throne. That throne and the way Christ is described is absolutely marvelous. It's beyond imagination, a rainbow behind him, a glass sea in front of him. Just his whole appearance will catch your breath. The shiningness, the glory of who it is being, even his feet's described as being so beautiful. The four living creatures with six wings and eyes all over them, and they keep singing, holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty, who ever is and forever will be. You are the everlasting God. And myriads of angels declaring his glory. And if you read the whole book of Revelation, you can see there's other activity that goes on, and particularly the undoing of the scrolls, the pouring out of the bowls of wrath. God in his awesome power, the one who created the universe, the stars, the planets, this beautiful place called Earth. The one who is the Almighty and being worshipped in the heavenly realms loves you. And so when you become into prayer and you go into God's presence, you've got someone who's on your side, but he is the mighty. He is the one worthy of all worship, and it's glorious goings on in heaven. And I've said this, I think, a couple of times already in this sermon. You and I are pilgrims going to heaven. You know, you just ride a bus. I hear, where are you going this week? Oh, I'll be going to Africa. I'll be going to Germany. I'll be going to... You hear everybody's going all over the place from DB, right? Because our jobs demand that. Our professions are of such a nature that we require a lot of travel and business. And many of it is just, you know, I got to go back to Shanghai. All right? You know, but some of it is quite exotic, you know. Where are you going this week, James? Well, I don't know exactly the particulars, but my end destination is heaven. God in his mighty love for you is going to take you and I to heaven. Now, let's say I get to live to be as old as my mom, 89. 89, I'm 61, so that leaves 28 years, right? 28 years, and it's over. All right? If I told some of you, you only got 28 years, you say, so I got 28 years. I'll be lucky if I make it as old as my mom. And then I die. And then these things that made up this body disintegrate back to dust. You see what your faith is in? Is that God can take you in this shell that you are and all that makes up you and bring you into his presence in heaven. That scared you, didn't it? He's going to take you, Addie. He's going to take us all to heaven. Because we have put faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to, hallowed be your name. You've got this loving, loving Father God. And you've got this powerful, almighty, holy, holy, holy God in heaven. How can you not but sing praise to his name. Hallowing his name. Our Father's name is higher than any other name. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the last. He's the Prince of Peace. The Almighty God, the Lord of Hosts. He's the healer. He's the comforter. He is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah the Provider, Jehovah Nisi. He is our banner. All these different names of God that are put in Scripture. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is our Savior. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He is the Messiah. He is the great I Am. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is teaching me. He is teaching you. He's teaching us collectively. He's teaching us individually how to hallow his name in prayer. I may have mentioned it a little bit in my morning prayer. I can't really remember, but this theme that goes on in Psalm 66 is expressed over and over in the Psalms, is that you see wickedness and injustice on planet Earth. And while this bad stuff is going on, a believer holds true that God is faithful, that God will judge the wicked. He will take vengeance on those who are really evil towards us. And sometimes in the business world, sometimes in the political arena, and oftentimes in the social milieu of our where we're living, we experience evil. It's there. And you cannot do anything about it. It's beyond you. And this is where the psalmist takes solace that God is our refuge. And so if I want to hallow his name, you are the refuge, Father, for me now and this whatever situation is. You hallow me. You are my refuge. And you're the refuge of all of your children. It is in you that we find our safety. It's in you, O God, that all the myriads of the angels find refuge, because they know that in you there is protection and power. And there's defeat of any and all evil, such as Satan and company. Hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, application. Well, how are we doing in our prayer life when it comes to just thanking God for being a loving God? God, I don't feel like you love me this week. I mean, this thing, this bad thing, you know. But I do know you love me because you gave me your son. You sent your son here to die for me. I know you love me, Father. I know you're in heaven and all the angels understand your love perfectly. I might not understand it right here, but I know you love me. Are we thanking Father God for loving us in our prayers? And see, this is far removed from just coming to God and say, God, will you bless me? Bless me, bless me, bless me. Will you give me? These are not gimme prayers. And the Lord is saying, if you want to pray, you know, this is the way you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So are we thanking Father God for loving us? Are we acknowledging God's heavenly power in prayer? Get a picture of who you're talking to. Again, read Revelation 4. Put it in perspective. This Father God is not just a Santa Claus sort of God. No. He's very, very holy, and he is accomplishing his purposes. The wonderful thing is he's doing it through us, his church, his people. Are we honoring his name in prayer? You can pick up the Holy Writ, the Scriptures, the Bible, and you can read any passage, and there will be something there in which a way you can hallow his name. Sometimes, and oftentimes, it gives you a biblical word for it, like Jehovah Jireh, God Almighty, Lord of Hosts, Savior, Lamb of God, these things will be right in front of you. And you can just use that, and when you're talking with your child, you can use that name even to hallow, to respect. How shall we end today? I thought about this. You want to pray with your neighbor? Just a minute. Most of your neighbors are your relatives, I can see. Some of you aren't, but they got a program on TV called The Dog Whisper, I think. Let's have a prayer whisper here, okay? If you're by yourself, you want to pray with someone, that's fine. If you feel comfortable praying, I see some of you guys are singles by yourself, that's fine. But let's just pray for a minute and ask Jesus, how are we doing? Do I see you, Father, as being my loving God? Am I hallowing your name? Let's just pray with our friend, our wife, whoever you're sitting next to, if you feel comfortable. If you don't, just be quiet. That's all right. You don't have to pray. Father, in 2014, it's my desire that I personally will be a man of prayer. I'm reminded that Martin Luther said that you've never really prayed until you've prayed the Lord's Prayer. And I thank you for Randy Pope, who's kind of opened my eyes to see how is my prayer life? What am I focusing on in my prayer? And so I pray for my friends, and I pray for myself, and I pray for my wife, Bonnie, and I, that we will grow in being a people who understand that you are indeed an endearing Father God who loves us so deeply, that you care about us personally, and at the same time, you are the Almighty God in heaven. Almighty and powerful, and yet so loving and tender towards us. I do not know for you, my friend, personally, where your prayer life is. But for you to experience God and experience His peace and to see Him answer prayers, I know it will thrill you. It's what you need, and I pray for you, as I pray for us as a whole. Holy Spirit, come upon us and make us a people of prayer. And we know that the gospel will advance in DB, in our lives, in our companies, where we work, in the workplace, in the schools. So thank you for teaching us to pray. Lord Jesus, we know this is your delight. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.